Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Happy Lord's Day. And if you happen to be joining us for the first time, welcome. We're glad you're with us today. Well, I want to take you straight to the text. We have been working through the letter in 1 Peter, and we're now at chapter 5, getting ready to close in on our series that we've been in for about 6 months. And here we are at chapter 5. Pastor Eddie launched chapter 5 with the first four verses last Sunday, and a great job of helping us to understand what biblical eldership is all about. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, please go back and hear that. And you'll see how basically that segues into what we're going to be dealing with here, because everything that Peter's been dealing with reveals something very important about how the church works, how believers interact with one another, fighting our sin, that struggle that we have on this side of eternity with pride, the sin of pride. And the antithesis of pride is humility, so we're going to be dealing with that. But let me take you straight to the text. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. What a precious word. Let us pray. And Father, how gracious we are, grateful we are, Father, to hear these words from your word over us, especially in these days. I thank you for the church. I thank you that we are, Father, hungry after your word, and I pray that those who are growing in their faith would grow in their desire to know the truth, to know your word, that it might set them free from the struggle and from the sin that so easily entangles us. And Father, as we approach this subject today that you have brought us to by sovereign grace, help us, Lord, to submit to it and to allow you to diagnose us. And also, Father, as you continue to sanctify us into the people that you want us to be. And may you be glorified in everything, in the church, in our lives, everywhere that we go. May we represent you well to the glory of your name. I thank you for my brothers and sisters and my friends who are watching and joining us today. May we, Father, be encouraged. May we be strengthened, Father, by the power of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this text at the beginning of verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, you can see how Peter now turns his attention back to the brethren or to believers. And he basically brings up believers who may be young in age, young in the faith. There's a couple of ways you can look at that, but essentially it is younger without maybe the experience of being able to grow in self-control. And so there's some issues. So we know that he's coming off of speaking about elders, and it's important for us to understand how God has established and ordered the church so that it operates as a biblically healthy community, which, by the way, is so drastically needed in our day today, And so we must look at how Peter transitions, and now he says he speaks to the church, these scattered believers who are the church, who are growing in their faith, hearing the word of God. He says, likewise. In other words, just like he exhorted the elders, he's exhorting the brothers and sisters. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. So I want to take our 4 points today from the text directly. So it'll be easy. You can just look at the text and we can see them 1, 2, 3, 4 in short order. The first one is be subject to the elders. That's point number one. Be subject to the elders. We're going to deal with that one further. The second one is clothe yourselves with humility. And by that, we are talking about biblical humility, not some false humility, but biblical humility. So clothe yourselves with humility. The third one is, and it's tied to the second one, is humble yourself under the hand of God. Humble yourself under the hand of God. We see Peter giving us this great text that many of us have heard before, have read before. that we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But that is, there's more to it than meets the eye. So we'll deal with that in a moment. And then lastly, cast all your anxieties on him. Cast all your anxieties on him. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful exhortation from the Apostle Peter to the believers, to us even today through the Holy Spirit, to just trust God with all of our cares, with everything that is going on in our lives. And so those are the four points that we are going to be working with. And again, they're easy to remember because you can go and get them directly from the text. Now, as we are to subject ourselves to the elders, there's a reason for that. In our sin nature, we always buck authority. Maybe you understand because you've been rebellious, as I have been rebellious in the past, and wanted to usurp authority, whether it's my parents' authority or whatever else may be. That is built into our sin nature. But we are saved by grace to begin to fight that, and we are no longer slaves to that. And so there is a healthy ordering that God has placed in the body of Christ where we are to respect and humble ourselves and submit to leadership. And that's part of what Pastor Eddie dealt with last week. But here he's saying, listen, you may be young in the faith, and he's exhorting you. You may be young in age, and he's exhorting you. Respect your elders. Submit yourself to those that have gone before you, those that have oversight over you. And that's how we can grow a healthy community. But you notice that as Peter began that, he quickly followed it up with, clothe yourselves with humility. And he said, all of you, not just the young, not just the old, but everyone in between, the whole bunch of you, so to speak, clothe yourselves with humility. And so we're going to see here that essentially what we're dealing with is humility. Humility, biblical humility. It takes humility to subject yourself to the elders, to be in subjection and submission to leadership. And yet it's so important. And it has caused so much trouble in the church today when there is not that rightful biblical submission. All kinds of problems. And it really hurts the church in great, great ways. So humility is going to be the center point. This is what we're going to be dealing with today. So again, let me exhort you and let me encourage you that as you grow in your faith, you may not be where you want to be, but you're on your way because God is growing you. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete that work. But it takes us hearing the truth and being convicted and confronted with the reality that we must be humble and we must submit to leadership. And not because leadership is God, but because God has placed those in authority over us for the care of our souls, for the care of the church. And this is how God has established so that there can be a healthy interaction, a healthy growth, healthy discipleship, healthy relationships in the context of a biblical community. And so the second point where he talks about clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another has the issue or has the idea of servant, of putting others before yourself. And it's taken from the idea, when you look at the original language, it has the idea of putting on, of clothing, literally taking an apron, so to speak, and tying that apron on you, readying yourself for service, to serve others, to do the hard work, the dirty work, whatever work needs to be done to serve others in the name of Jesus. And so we see this, of course, Jesus himself exemplified this for us in John chapter 13. By the way, I did put some scripture references for you in on the worship guide. You can find that at cbccorpuschristi.com. They're there basically as cross references, so go back and look at some of those. But essentially, we see Jesus giving us the ultimate example in how he washed the disciples' feet. He taught them to humble themselves and put others before themselves and to serve them in the name of Christ. And so that idea of clothing ourselves carries the connotation that we must put on something. Just like we wake up and put on something to ready ourselves for work or for whatever else we are about to do, as a believer, as Christians in the household of faith, we must clothe ourselves with humility. Humility. Why? Because one of the greatest sins that we battle day in and day out, and hear me well, is pride, is the sin of pride. Charles Spurgeon famously said, "Pride is so natural to fallen man that it springs up in his heart like weeds in a watered garden or rushes by a flowing brook. It is an all-pervading sin and smothers all things like dust in the roads or flour in the mill." Sin is that, pride is that sin that befalls us all. It is a part of our sin nature, and we must be confronted with it. This is why I love the truth of the Word of God that so lovingly confronts us and challenges our sin. Spurgeon also said, "You may hunt down this fox and think you have destroyed it, and lo, your very exaltation is pride." Wow, just think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. None have more pride than those who dream that they have none. Pride is an insidious sin. Pride is a sin with 1,000 lives. It seems impossible to kill it. It flourishes on that which should be its poison, glorifying in its shame. To die to pride and self, one would need to die himself. Brothers and sisters, when we have been saved, we are now dead to sin. We have died in our sin, and we are alive in Christ. That's why we are believers, because we've been resurrected to newness of life. And now the pride that so easily entangled us and so easily just had its way with us, we now can fight it, and we will have to fight it all the days of our lives here on this side of eternity. Pride was man's first sin, and it will be his last. Wow. Pride was man's first sin, and it will be his last. You can see why the Apostle Peter, already a seasoned believer, having been through all that he'd been through, exhorting these precious saints in that area, struggling and suffering. We already know they are suffering, but they are being comforted and they are being enabled by the Holy Spirit to respond with the Word of God and to realize once again, Peter is reminding them to clothe themselves with humility, that humility is still part of the Christian experience. We are humble before God, and this is so, so critical. C.J. Mahaney said in his book, a small book that he wrote on humility, he says, "Humility draws the gaze of our sovereign God." Humility draws the gaze of our sovereign God. And here the contrast. Peter pulls from James 4:6, actually Proverbs, and we can see these contrasted. He said how God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Brothers and sisters, hear me on this. God opposes the proud, the pride that is in us, the pride that surfaces every now and again. God opposes that, but God's grace comes to the humble. So when we have turned from that sin and we are contrite and we even weep over that sin of pride, and we turn from it, and we trust Christ in repentance, God gives grace to the humble. Contrary to popular and false belief, it's not those who help themselves whom God helps. It's those who humble themselves. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, Peter tells us. You can see the importance of all of this. And I want to give you just a quick one-sentence definition so that you can understand the importance of humility. Here it is. Humility is honestly assessing ourselves in light of God's holiness and our sinfulness. Don't miss that. Write it down. Humility is honestly assessing ourselves in light of God's holiness and our sinfulness. Brothers and sisters, we will struggle with this on and on until Christ comes. But we have been given, we have been extended enabling grace to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And sometimes our biggest dilemma is presuming on the grace of God, presuming on the riches of his mercy, assuming we're okay with him, even in our pride. Prideful that we are right with God, prideful that we are okay with God, that he must be okay with what I'm doing, how I'm living. How foolish. How unhumble. Already exhibiting and having to deal with the tension of that sin in that moment. And yet Peter exhorts us through the Spirit even now, and the word is staring at us right in the face. He said, listen, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because you are still struggling. And we must strive to the glory of God to fight that sin, because it will, as Spurgeon said, will come up like weeds. Just when we think we've cleared the yard of weeds, they come back. And so we must perpetually and persistently fight in faith. And we fight it with humility by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. A closing thought about that is, without an honest awareness of both these realities, this God's holiness and our sinfulness, all self-evaluation will be skewed and will fail to either understand or practice true humility. Let me say that one more time. Without an honest awareness of both these realities, God's holiness and our sinfulness, all self-evaluation will be skewed and will fail to either understand or practice true humility. Brothers and sisters, this is crucial for us to understand and to grab, and I'm so encouraged with the words in our text today. Again, let me just take you back to verse 5 again. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And then he quickly says, clothe yourselves, all of you, the young and the old, with humility toward one another. So it's an interchangeable, interactive thing. This is what makes healthy biblical community, is that we do this with one another. And then it says, for why? Because God opposes the proud. Let's not forget that. Remember that. I am remembering that. And I remind myself, wow, those times that you have been prideful, God opposes that. May God forgive me. May God forgive us. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, verse 6, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Exaltation comes from being lifted up by Christ himself, carrying us with him. And then verse 7, the beautiful, beautiful promise, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. One way to also see this, we see it in the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 62. You can go in your Bibles there, or you can find it on your scripture reference, Isaiah 66:2. And this is a powerful text and has ministered to me personally, so I wanted to share it with you today. Isaiah 66:2 reads, all these things my hand has made, prophet talking about God, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. God saying, this is who I will look for. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Man, just let the weight of that text fall on you afresh right now in this moment. This is the one to whom I will look, the Lord God says. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Boy, this leads me to contemplate what it means to actually fear God, to reverence God, to be in awe of him. And therefore, I can humble myself under his mighty hand. And you know, that was always, of course, God doesn't have a literal hand, but it's a metaphor. It's a way for us to imagine the strength of our mighty, powerful God. When he delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, And yet those sinners wanted to go back for cucumbers and leeks. And they complained, and Moses cried before the Lord and pleaded with the Lord. And God said, okay, if you want manna, if you want meat, I'm going to give you more meat than you're going to know what to do with. And it's that strong arm, that strong hand of the Lord that has always throughout Scripture given us a sense of his sovereignty and his power. So humble yourself under his mighty hand, because his hand, his power, his sovereignty is all that matters. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning of verse 26, we read these words, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Powerful reminder that Jesus gives us the example to humble ourselves before under the mighty hand of God, to clothe ourselves with humility. He did this, and I alluded to this before in John chapter 13, beginning of verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. Now notice this, how this imagery of garments in Scripture is always profound and important. And taking a towel, tied it around his waist, he clothed himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Unbelievable. Again, later on in verse 14, we read these words, "If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Now don't miss the symbolism. And just the idea of, we may not be so accustomed today to that, literally as it was back then, but there is a powerful principle, a spiritual biblical principle of really being able to bow down and serve others with humility. To be willing to do that dirty work to the honor and glory of God. In Proverbs 3:34, Peter quoted from this, he said, "Toward the scorners, he is scornful." God opposes the proud. "But to the humble, he gives favor," or he gives grace. Now remember what I said about just that whole process of God's hand in Exodus chapter 3, beginning of verse 19. "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go." Brothers and sisters, we're talking about a powerful, powerful, mighty, sovereign Lord. And again, James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace." Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And verse 10 of that same chapter, James 4, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." In Luke 9, verse 23, we read these words, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me," if anyone of us is going to follow Jesus, in other words, "let him," what? "Deny himself. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." The psalmist cried out in these words in Psalm 37:5, "Commit your way to the Lord." That is an exhortation that we can take from this section of the text as it relates to clothing ourselves with humility, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, to cast our care on Christ and stop depending on our own strength. Stop trying to think we can do it our own way, but humble ourselves. Ask God to forgive you of the sin of pride. Too prideful to ask for help. Too prideful to be in community with others. Too prideful to be able to do what is necessary. And this is so important for us to get this and to see that we must commit our way to the Lord. Lord, help me in this. I can't do this. But the Spirit in me, because of your saving grace, your Spirit can enable me to humble myself, to clothe myself with humility. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Question, does God act? A resounding yes, brothers and sisters. The Lord does great things. In Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Peter's saying the same thing. Cast your cares on him. You can trust him. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Amen, church. God will never permit the righteous to be moved. In Matthew 6:25, very familiar. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? If you're going to do anything, as far as clothing goes, clothe yourself with humility. Tie on the apron of service and put others before yourself, and you will see the grace of God extended to you in ways that are too precious to understand. Psalm 40, verse 17, as for me, I am poor and needy. I think that describes most of us. But the Lord takes thought for me. Amen. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. Luke chapter 1, in verse 46, we have Mary's Magnificat. Some of you may say, I want you to hear the words of this song. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty, under the mighty hand of God, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. Don't miss that. Read it in your Bible. And his mercy, we've talked about his grace, but his mercy is for those who fear him. Oh, may we have a healthy, genuine fear of God, brothers and sisters. And then she goes on to say, from generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. This is real. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Brothers and sisters, let us be encouraged that the God of all grace, the God of all comfort, lovingly disciplines us and even will humble us so that we can learn how to live a life of humility and to wake up with the new morning mercies we have every day and continue to fight the sin that wants to daily rear its ugly head. So let us take heed, church. Younger brothers and sisters, mature brothers and sisters, and everyone in between, let us be subject to the elders, number one. Number two, let us clothe ourselves with humility. And number three, let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And number four, let us cast all our anxieties on him. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for lovingly disciplining us at times when we have unfortunately failed at fighting our pride. It so easily wells up in all of us. We are all guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy to humble us and to teach us a life of humility. Thank you for the truth that is contained in this text to help remind us of the importance of pursuing godly, biblical humility. Help us, Lord. Help us to put on the garment of humility and serve us. Help us, Lord, to think of others as better than ourselves. Help us to put others before ourselves. That's easier said than done when pride is a problem. And Father, help us to not try and wallow in our own anxieties and try to overcome on our own strength. That is futile. Help us to cast all our anxieties on you. And we thank you. Thank you for having mercy on us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for restoring us. Thank you for the church. Thank you for believers and brothers and sisters that you've placed around us so that we can interact with these truths and help one another and encourage one another. We thank you for that. I thank you, Father. I pray that you would help us as we continue to pursue and finish this series. And may, Father, it continue to do a sanctifying work in all of our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.